All right. Good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee on a slightly crazy schedule in January because of the PNB transition. But this is our second meeting in January. We also met on the 7th of January. So it is January 14th, 2014. At 5:42 p.m. Pacific, 8:42 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. And we're going to start off by having our secretary, R. Paul Martin of WBAI, call the roll.
Okay, Jim Boyd.
Here.
John Crumshaw.
Present.
Marcus Jetter.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present, but I have a root canal scheduled in the morning. I might not stay on.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Manish Asaba. Raul Salvador. Richard Yazell. Barbara Whipperman. Okay, we have seven. That's quorum.
All right. Thank you much. R. Paul, for the purposes of the role on this committee, I think at this point it's probably appropriate to formally notify you that the employment of the chief financial officer has ended, and therefore it is not necessary to call his name in the role going forward.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right, so we have a draft agenda. It was sent out beyond late, like 15 minutes ago. Let me read it out loud, and then we can decide if we want to modify it in any way. So it starts off with roll call, approve the agenda, approve the minutes. I don't have it in front of me. The SCA motion, the budget to actuals reports from KPFA and WPFW, which were delayed from last week, and I note that, and I'm not sure what's up with KPFA. We'll have to find out. Paul, do you have it in front of you? Is there anything else on it?
No, I think meeting schedule is fourth.
Oh, I'm sorry. And meeting schedule, because with the PNB in-person meeting shifting slightly on the dates, we probably should talk a little about what we want to do until the committee is newly constituted, which may be somewhat late in February. I don't know. So that's the agenda. Are there any modifications or any move to approve?
This is Jim. I'd like to approach one issue. With the current affairs of Pacifica Foundation, I think it's important for the protection of everybody on the PMB and the LSBs if we know if the errors and omissions policy is in full force and effect and the premiums are paid. And I would like
you,
I would like
you mean the directors and officers insurance, correct?
Yes.
The liability insurance?
Yes. I would like to make a requirement that either everybody on the NFC be put on the policy as notifications if it's terminated,
mm-hmm.
something of that sort.
So let's do this. Let's put it on the agenda, and then we can get to that level of detail when we're talking about the item.
Thank you.
Okay. So would it be okay to put that on as the last item on the agenda, Jim? I don't think the agenda is
wrong.
Okay.
Could I hear exactly what that's going to say? What is the name of that agenda item?
Jim called it the Errors and Omissions Liability Policy, or Directors and Officers Liability.
Notification on termination.
This is Barbara. I just wanted to let you know I'm on the call.
Okay. Okay. So are there any further modifications to the agenda, or is there a motion to approve it as amended?
There's a bit of a modification. Number five, SCA motion. Basically, the motion is to address something to the PNB, but I'm told that this has already been put before the PNB. So I think it would be redundant if we do it. But, you know.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's very likely it would end up referred back to the committee anyway in the future. But that said, it might not be a bad idea just to talk about it a bit so that the members of the committee know what it is.
Well,
and if the NFC ends up having a strong opinion about it, I don't see any reason we wouldn't want to communicate that.
All right. Maybe then change it from SCA motion to SCA issues?
SCA discussion?
Discussion, fine.
Good.
Okay.
Marcus,
yes, Marcus.
Quick question. I wanted to know about the status of the executive director joining us.
The status of what?
The executive director joining us. I didn't see it on the agenda.
The request was made. The executive director is in Los Angeles. There are personnel changes going on there. And I do not believe, due to the fact that she was out of town, it was possible for us to join us. I asked if there was anyone else at the national office who could join us, and the answer to that was probably not this time, but she would work on it for next time.
Thank you.
I don't think it's impossible the ED will join us, but I was unable to get a firm commitment due to the fact that she was out of town.
Okay.
Sorry. Anything else on the agenda? Someone willing to go with a move to approve is amended, as amended?
Is Jim a motion to approve as amended?
Okay. Are there any objections? It is done. Okay, so that takes us to the minutes. We have one set from last week, January 7th. They were sent out several days ago. Is there a motion to approve them or to modify them?
I have a motion to modify. I have two words to put in the KPFT report just to clarify some things.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. On the second page at the top, the third line down, the sentence, in total, the station came in about $120,000 short, and that's for FY13. So it's the whole year, and that just clarifies what that $120,000 is for.
Okay. So, our Paul, you can put a for FY2013 in there?
Right.
And then the last line talks about the business manager salary, and this will be corrected going forward. It's really this will be partially corrected going forward. Because KPFT is still paying some of BAI's business manager salary.
Okay, so we'll insert a partial in that sentence.
Everything else looks good.
Okay. Paul, that's clear. That's clear for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Right. Is there a motion to approve these minutes as amended?
Jim, the minutes be approved as amended.
Okay. Are there any objections to that? All right. All done. Okay. So that brings us to the next item, which should be fairly quick. I believe it is just a meeting schedule note, and I thought it was probably for the best to get it out of the way early. So this is where we are. We have no more meetings scheduled. All of the treasurers are returning to the committee, so at least half of the committee will remain as a working kernel. You'll all be continuing. And the PNB members will serve until they are replaced. Generally, NFC seats, at least one or more, is done by vote. So my expectation is that folks, that these seats will not be determined until sometime after the in-person meeting in February. So my thought was that we might not want to go an entire month without an NFC meeting or more, and that it might make sense to at least tentatively calendar in a little bit more into the future, with, of course, the scenario that any of us that are being replaced will stop coming once we are replaced, and that if the committee is newly constituted and wants to change the schedule, that's what they'll do. So some of the options are, the in-person meeting is from the 7th till the 10th. If we feel the need, we could have a meeting till last week of January, or we could skip it. I think it would probably make sense to calendar at least one meeting in February. And I think we would probably be looking at either the 18th or the 25th. So I will take thoughts about whether a meeting at the end of January makes sense or not, and also about whether the 18th or the 25th makes more sense for the first meeting of the 2014 NFC. My feeling is the 25th would be keeping to the same schedule, the second and fourth Tuesdays. The 18th would allow less downtime between meetings. Thoughts?
When is the face-to-face?
February 7 to 10.
Let's do the 25th and stick on the 2nd to 15.
KPFK, local station, Board of Finance, may have to meet on the 3rd Monday. I don't know if we're going to continue that or not.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Tuesday, though. Okay.
Okay, so I'm hearing some support for the 25th. Anyone want to speak strongly for the 18th?
Well, I have the elections committee, assuming I'm returned to that committee, which normally meets on the 4th Monday. So I have calls 2 nights in a row. But
okay, well, this isn't the 4th Monday. February 18th is the 3rd Tuesday. What we're debating is the 3rd or the 4th Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm saying I prefer the 3rd to the 4th. Tuesday
of the month.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we should snatch up one of those dates because things will get taken. How do people feel about January 28th? Do they want to stay on schedule or take a break? My feeling is with our financial excitement.
Tracy, this is John here. I would weigh in on taking a break, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
But I will go with whatever the majority wants.
I mean, this is Jim. Okay. We're done with the reports. Is there that much that needs to be done that we know right now that needs to be done in the next 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
No. I would expect that some things will come up, but no. I couldn't make an agenda for that meeting at this point. I don't know what would be on it.
Artful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, given that we're not getting, I do not anticipate that on the 28th we'll have lots of information from the national office, and I don't know what we can do. I mean, I'm sort of leaning towards taking a break on this because I am not seeing a need for the 28th, and I'm not seeing us getting anything to do anything with on the 28th.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's do some quick votes and see how things break out. It sounds like we might be going for February 25th only, but let's find out. Okay, so let's do yes or no on a meeting on January 28th. We'll just go around. Yes, if you want to meet on the 28th. No, if you don't. I'm going to abstain on these things. Paul, can you call the roll?
This is a straw poll, which is
straw poll, yeah.
But anyway, let me, okay, this is on the 28th.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Jim Boyd?
No.
John Crumshaw?
No.
Marcus Jeter?
No.
No.
R. Paul Martin? I'll pass. Torney Norman?
No.
Michael Novick?
No.
Tracy Rosenberg?
I'm abstaining.
Meneja Saba? Okay, I skip a line here. Richard Uzel? Barbara Wipperman?
No.
All right. I'll abstain because straw poll. Anyway, 6 no, 0 yes. 2 abstain.
Okay, then that doesn't sound like there's any reason to have a meeting. All right, so that takes us to February. And this is going to be a different kind of thing. We have February 18th and February 25th. I think it's clear the NFC should be on one of those days. So we'll go around, and you either say 18th or 25th for your preferred date.
Oh, okay.
If you want to add some narrative as to your feelings about why, you can do so.
Okay. Jim Boyd.
I'll go 18th, but is either one good for me?
Let me hold on a second here. I have to adjust this. Okay, John Crumshaw. John Crumshaw?
Pass right now.
Okay. Marcus Jeter.
Pass. Marcus, I would go for the 25th only because I'm going to be out of the country on the week prior week.
Okay. I'm going to pass. Tony Norman.
I'll go for the 25th.
Michael Novick?
I prefer the 18th, but I guess I could do the 25th.
Well, I got to mark down one or the other.
I prefer the 18th.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg?
Abstaining.
Meneja Saba? Raul Salva? Richard Giselle? Barbara Wipperman?
18th, but I could do the 25th. That were the majority.
Okay, and going back, who has passed? Oh, wrong one. John Crumshaw.
I'm sorry, I missed who was going to be out of the country on the 25th. Who was that? Marcus on the 18th.
Marcus will be out of the country on the 18th?
Correct.
Okay, then I will go with the 25th.
Oh, you have a tie.
Oh, God, really? Okay.
Well, I skipped me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let me look at the calendar. This is a thing with a football. Okay, the PNB meets 7th, 8th, and 9th. Is that it? That weekend?
PNB meets, yes, 7th, 8th, and 9th.
I would say that I would go for the 25th myself, because and somebody could argue me out of this, probably, I would go with the 25th because I think it'll be more together by then. In other words, I think the 18th might be too close to the very end of the probably draining in-person meeting. It's just my thought. If somebody says it's a stupid idea, let me know.
Having everything together sounds a little bizarre to me.
Less apart.
Because if I go for the 25th, then it's 3 for the 18th, 4 for the 25th, and 1 abstention.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, since Jim also said that the 25th was, you know, he voted for one but he didn't really care, and Marcus is going to be out of the country, it sounds like the 25th is the logical thing to do here. So I'm going to grab that date for us. And it also keeps us on the second and fourth Tuesday, which is not a bad thing. Since I know the other committees know not to be on those dates. So probably the more we keep to them, the better. Okay, so that's done. And I would assume that on the 25th, the PNB will either have turned the committee over or will at least have an idea when they will be accomplishing that. So we can schedule from there. Or they can schedule from there, however that goes. Good. Thank you, everyone. All right. So that takes us to the item called SCA motion, or SCA discussion. Sorry. I have a couple of things to say about it, but I'm going to start by letting Arpal introduce it. Arpal, if there's anything, you know, give us some background on it. Tell us your understanding of where it's at procedurally, and then if there's anything in particular you can think of that you want to get out of this conversation, say so.
Okay.
And then I also have a couple of thoughts about, you know, why we should do it and what we can get out of it.
Okay. I had to get some stuff in these in these minutes. One second.
Okay.
Ah, good time. I don't have a cough button to push. So I'll hear some of that. I had to get the notes here right for a minute to go near reality. All right. The SCA discussion is the subcarrier. The transmitters for the radio stations, we don't put out our radio programs at all, but there are what are called side bands to the signal, and those can be picked up separately by special receivers, and stations can rent out those side bands, and at least some of the Pacifica stations do in fact do that, and WBAI has been doing that for years and years and years, and I think some of the other stations have too. Now, the issue is that years ago, the PNB and the national office got together and said all the SCA money goes directly to the national office. And this was a big back and forth, as you can imagine. Somewhere in the years 2005, 2006, 2007. I have not yet found an NFC reference to that, but I haven't been able to look through all of those minutes of those times yet, and I had to do computer searches. I may have missed some. But somewhere in those 3 years, I know it was a much talked about issue at WBAI and at the WBAI Finance Committee. And it also went to the PNB, and it came back that the PNB said, oh, no, we're keeping that money. And that was the end of that. So what's happened is a motion passed the WBAI local station board in October that BAI remind the PNB of this motion. And the director who proposed this had more argument after that about the motion and some specifics about it, and so that I am told has gone to the PNB, and I had thought that it was going to come through here, but I realized it's gone to the PNB, and since it's already done, having a motion to do something that's already done is not allowed anyway in Raleigh. So the basic deal is to let the station have the SCA money, and the basic justification is stations pay the rent for the tower. You're all familiar with BAI paying somewhat the rent for Empire State Building, and this is revenue that comes directly from that. And so the argument is, so BAI and the other stations that have SCAs should get that money directly, and it will somewhat offset the bill for the transmitter site. And so there's that. And that's basically the basis of it. The other side of it, of course, is that, quite frankly, yes, BAI would then be saying, we want our thousands of dollars in the face of figures that show we're rather an order of magnitude or two above that in owing Pacifica bill right now. So so that's where that is. That's what the issue is, and that's what people are proposing, and it's currently already on the PNB agenda.
Pardon for the stack.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else for the stack?
I'm okay. Sure, it's Richard. I'm here.
Oh, good. Glad to have you. Okay, so Barbara wanted to say something. I wanted to say something. Does anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I remember some time ago looking at this item and wondering what it was, and I started asking around. I had a conversation with our chief engineer, and he remembers a time when the account was established in our chart of accounts for the SBA income, and it was, the idea was at that time, it was supposed to be like a savings account for emergencies that the stations might have for large equipment expenses and so on. And in the chart of account, there was no money in that account, that savings account that was supposed to be established. But anyway, that was his recollection of some discussion in the past about what ought to be done with the income from these agreements.
Okay. Anyone else want to jump in?
Our poll for a fast historical bit.
Sure, go for it.
Sorry. This was again. I'm working on information from a time before I was treasurer and the previous treasurer reporting to the local finance committee. Basically, the thing then was all about where does the money go? Does BAI get it? Does National Office get it? The other thing I have heard, and again, this is from before my time as treasurer, and this is something I have not had confirmed in any direction, is, well, there are several confusing things, one of which was there was a service on the BAI sideband, and they had, in fact, not paid for it. They were in arrears in their payments. We're probably never going to pay for it. And then I heard there was a new one, and maybe it was there. And I've also heard that the sidebands aren't being used anymore. So I don't have solid information on what might be happening in January 2014 with the sidebands at all. But I do know that at one point it was being used, and at one point it was reported that the lessee wasn't paying the money. So there's that.
Okay, well, I'll report what I know, which is the SCA money is, of course, legally payable to the licensee because it's income generated directly by the usage of the license according to FCC rules. The income has to accrue formally to the licensee. What we do internally is, of course, our business between divisions of the organization, but it does need to formally accrue to the licensee. There's a contract not between the stations and outside vendors, but between Pacifica and outside vendors. That's just legal stuff. And it can't be a contract between any other entity but the license holder and whoever we choose to lease it to. The SCA monies are basically going down long term. Right now the number is in the low $200,000 for all five stations. I think three of them currently have workable SCA arrangements. One or two of them don't even do it anymore. One of those contracts is ending. And essentially, long-term, it's kind of going to go down to a dribble, which is sad, but likely. So this isn't a scenario of creating a tremendous revenue flow to the stations. It would be short-term. I believe at some point the PNB voted that this was national division income, so it's been in the national budget for years and years and years. I don't know what the procedural policy would be to undo what was done before. There might have to be motions to rescind or something like that, which takes some time to run through the funnel. But essentially, it would leave a rather large hole in the amount of self-generating income that the national office depends on. So if that were the case, there would either be layoffs at the national office or you would have to come up with some way to replicate the income. So it has some consequences. Accordingly, I think it's likely that the PNB would refer it back to the Finance Committee, and it would need to be implemented in a budgetary year where it's accounted for that income will be in different places. In other words, if you tried to do it right now, it would shoot all the 2014 budgets and we'd have to start all over again. So I don't expect this to be an immediate matter. It might be something that for the future, until these contracts run out and cease to exist, we may want to, starting in 2015, change how we allocate things. But that's about all that you could sort of sanely do. In terms of what we want to do as an NFC, I think it would be perfectly fine to just kind of bag the issue and ignore it, as our Paul is kind of suggesting, and see what, if anything, comes back from the PNB. Alternatively, if we wanted to formulate a committee opinion that a majority of the committee agreed to, it could certainly be passed on to the PNB, and they might ignore it, and they might pay attention to it. Right now, this is a motion that didn't come through the NFC, so it isn't in the NFC committee report. The alternative is if we wanted to pass a motion asserting that this should be done or asserting that this should not be done, we could do that, and then that motion, whatever the contents of it were, could be contained in an NFC committee report. And that might get the subject talked about faster if we wanted that. So that's just what the possibilities are, and it's up to the will of the committee if we want to do any of those things or nothing at all.
Doesn't sound like there needs to be any.
No, that's kind of where our poll was heading. I just didn't want to kill it off without, you know, talking about it first. Any strongly dissenting opinions to doing nothing?
It seems likely it gets to the PNB, it'll send it here anyway, so you might as well wait, I think.
I would imagine so. You never know. But, you know, if I had to gamble, I would gamble that would be the case. Okay, so this is not a motion, because a motion connotes anything, but this is a suggestion that we take no further action on this item. And if I don't hear any objections, that's what we'll do.
Well, I don't think we can, because it's already before the body we report to.
Well, we could. We could adopt the motion as the policy of the NFC. We could adopt some other motion as the policy of the NFC. We could do these things. I'm suggesting that we not do them, but we could. Okay, well, I'm not hearing anyone speaking strongly that they want to or think that the committee should, and the two people who have spoken seem to think that the committee should not. So I think that's going to be the policy. Okay, done. All right, so that brings us to our two budget to actual reports. We have KPFA and WPFW. Marcus, would you like to start us off with WPFW?
Sure. Okay. Marcus Jetta. I am happy to report that WPFW is trending in the right direction.
Very much.
Let's see. We had a mini pledge drive in December. Goal was $118,000. We actually raised $125,000. We also did a mass mailing, which in part may be responsible for a significant increase in internet income, which I believe was about $33,000 during the month of December. So that's all good news. Let's see. The new GM is really aggressively pursuing some grants and has solicited a part-time grant writer to assist us in trying to bring some more grant-related money in, which I think is good news. Unfortunately, our staff is still on 3/4 time schedule, and we hope to get the folks back on full time in February for us. Of course, that remains to be seen. We have a pledge drive coming up in February. So there's a lot of preparation going on for that. The goal will be $400,000. And a lot of effort in trying to keep premiums down and such. Let's see. There's personnel, there's development. I'm going to stop saying sorry. We did have some problems with a transmitter. We were operating at very low power for quite a long time, but we attempted to implement a change, a remedy to that. Current estimate will be $10,000 to $20,000 to do repairs in the transmitter, which we hope will be done by the end of this month. And I think that, I'd be happy to take questions, but I really feel like we're trending in the right direction, and there's been some changes made. I also am told that we're going to get a temporary business manager, which would be very refreshing, because I mean, maybe the flow of information will improve. Currently, as you know, we have no business manager, and everyone knows we have no CFO. It's been very challenging to get information. I'll tell you, if you like to add anything. I bet Tony's on mute. Tony. Okay.
Okay. So, yes. So, next we'll go to the PNB member from WPFW. Tony, is there anything you'd like to add to that? Tony's
falling asleep.
Okay.
I guess I'll just conclude that I'm happy to report that we really believe we're starting to turn the corner. Oh, go ahead, Tony.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
the only issue I was raised. Hello? The only issue I was raised is reference to the local office managing checks and bills. So I understand all of the central records were taken by Tanika for purpose. And so there have been some difficulties in that area. We don't even have checks to write. So they're trying to resolve that. The
interim general manager with the central office.
This is Marcus. If I could just follow up, I couldn't agree with Tony more, and that's why I had hoped that executive director would have been on the call. But I think Tony's right on point there.
Okay. Let's go to question and answer. I have a question. I don't know if anybody else does. Who would like to be on the stack?
Yeah, this is Jim on the stack.
Okay. Anybody else want to be on the staff? Okay, we'll go to Jim.
Okay, I have two questions. If you don't have check writing ability, how are the checks getting written? How are they getting distributed? And then secondly, what exactly is your fiscal plan, and how is that being paid for? What is your rent?
I'll answer the second one. But what is our rent? Is that what he was asking?
Yeah, what is the rent? Because I know you just moved into a new place. How is that working? What is the rent? What is there changes that need to be made in that area?
Well, yeah, Mark's here. So our monthly is about $12,000 a month in a new location, which is about $4,500 less than the other location, so that's a great relief. Regarding the check, and Tony may have to confirm this, I believe that we've been working with the national office. They have been paying the bills for us in lieu of having a business manager. There's been some questions, some challenges about how effective that's been. And so our interim general manager is aggressively attempting to normalize our financial accounting situation. He's going to bring in a temporary business manager to account them, and just attempting to, you know, normalize the situation from what was at one point a big challenge. Once I don't ever left.
Tony. Yes, I can just say it's very difficult because they've been relying on the central office, I think, for Mika to pay bills, and they don't exactly know what's been paid or even to write checks. So it's been extremely difficult. I think the interim general manager is requesting that that authority be brought back to the local station because once again, it's a confusion as to what bills are being paid. When they need to write checks, they don't have access to checks. So now, as I understand it, as we talk today, the Central Berkeley office pays the bills. But there's not exactly a lot of communication as to what bills are being paid and what bills are not being paid. So at the last Finance Committee meeting, I know the general manager is requesting that it's very difficult, it poses a very difficult situation with WPFW associated with that kind of operation. So it's best that the checkbooks come back to Washington, D.C. so that they can pay their own bills, and we're in a position to do all that.
Anybody else have a question besides me? Okay, well then, I'll go ahead with my question or comment or whatever the heck this is, to see how it comes out. My understanding was that things were a little weird with the check writing system at WPSW for some time. Apparently the GM was not the check signer, the former GM. And the development director, I guess? I don't know, the woman who was handling the premiums was the only check signer in the building. And there were some substantial problems. There was a period of time when the rent wasn't being paid, previous landlord, nobody was quite sure why. And the GM was not exercising control over the use of the funds in the way that you would want. Obviously, it's a new GM now and a different situation, but the question has been sort of, who is going to do what in the non-business manager scenario, and is the new IGM prepared to perform financially in quite that way, because the other GM wasn't. So that's kind of what I think that they're working out. I'm not sure. But I do think that if the IGM's duration looks to be reasonable at this point in time, and I don't know if that's the case or not, I have no idea, that it would make sense to get some local check writing ability back, because it's a pain in the kazoo not to be able to write checks. But I think that there needs to be some question about sort of, you know, who's doing what straightened out. In terms of the bills, my question is, I was told that the money from the last fund run had run out rather quickly, and there were problems making the benefits payment this last weekend. I just wanted to know if you guys knew anything about it, or if the answer was National's handling it, we don't know anything about it.
We didn't pay what this past weekend?
That there wasn't enough money left in WPFW's bank account to pay for the health benefits due on Friday, last Friday. I just was wondering if you knew anything about that, or if the answer is it's all National, we have no clue.
Well, I think that the general manager discussed it at the last meeting, that we should have paid that. We had the money set aside to pay it. When I looked at the last report, it shows that that was coming out of our budget, and we had $93,000 in the bank, and part of that was stipulated to be paid was that which you just referred to. Now, why it hasn't been paid, I don't know what the issue with that. I mean, that's part of the confusion as to what is paid and what is not paid. But just to respond quickly to what you said, Tracy, earlier, the problem even with the previous general manager was not in check writing ability. I mean, that was no problem with the business manager and the development director signed the check. So there was never an issue with that. That never posed a problem. So that was not
problems, Tony.
Let me just finish. Yeah. No, there was never a problem in check writing and bill paying. If we didn't pay bills because we didn't have the money to pay yet. So the actual logistics of check writing was never a problem. So there was no reason to take all of the books and the checkbooks and take them to Berkeley when the general manager was placed on leave. So I just want to add that to it.
Okay. I'm going to add something as well. That's an opinion that you have, but from everything that I have seen, there were significant problems. There were problems with rent being paid. There were problems with individuals writing themselves checks and then claiming that they were to pay utility bills, you know, checks written out in their own names personally. There were significant problems. My goal would be that we fix those problems and return local check writing ability to WPFW, but it's not correct to say that there were no problems. It's really not.
I said there were no problems. I said there was no problem with the check writing, and that the issues that you raised, the CFO came around and found that there was no validity to those issues that were raised by other people. So there was no substantive validity to those allegations that you repeated.
No, that's not true, Tony.
Well, it is true.
No, it's not. It's not. And well, hopefully we can solve the problems and restore local check writing ability.
Well,
but
like
there were problems.
Bring our books back to WPFW in the tech. There's no reason to keep all of the books in the checkbooks in Berkeley.
Marcus, can I add in?
Go ahead.
I would just say that we've got a new general manager. We are trending in the right direction financially and many different levels. And she's made some good changes, some substantive changes. And I just think, you know, we're trying to normalize our operations. And this request that we've made seems to be a no-brainer from our standpoint. And we look forward to it being implemented.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will be the case. Anything else on DC? All right, then we are on to KPFA. Barbara, you can start off.
Well, what we've got prepared here was a statement. Well, I have to say, it's an interim statement. It's a draft statement. We know there are there's some data that our business manager doesn't have yet. So
But it was a statement for last September 30th, the close of that fiscal year. And I thought that's what we were all reporting on, although the report that Marcus just gave was more current. So, anyway.
That's okay. Yeah.
Right?
You know, report on what you have. Yeah.
That's fine. So you guys now have a very pared-down draft statement for KPFA's final books for the end of last fiscal year. And it was sent, more or less, just prior to the time that I got on the call.
Mm-hmm. Can you summarize? Can you maybe summarize the contents in broad terms? I think that would be helpful.
Yes.
You know, we have people on the stream anyway, so they need to.
Right. Well, there are a lot of things in the revenue where we did not meet the budget, and some of these we know we still have. Income, or we still have information coming. So, but without being specific about things, the whole donation, the revenue totals, we budgeted $3,386,499, but we have at this statement, $3,288,436, and that's $98,000 less than what we have budgeted for the year. Now, one item in this statement is line 14, account 5752, major donor. We did receive $120,000. It was donated in stock. And so there have been many months with getting this translated into cash, and we do not have it yet. But in fact, the documentation for our receipt of it was received during that year, and was it really the year before? I'm sorry, the business manager is here with me. We have to book it in 2013. Yes, it will be revenue. Even if we receive it now, since we got the documentation about it in the year that ended September 2013, it's going to go into that. So that will bring our revenue up substantially. By the $120,000 will offset the $98,000 deficit. There are a few other things that we know we have yet more data to come, and that's the community events and the crafts fair. This and the there's still bank statements to be reconciled. So,
okay.
I'm looking at you. I got this just when you did.
Yeah.
I'm looking through to the part. I'm going to the breakdown of expenses, and I'm looking in the program expenses. And one of the items, the satellite fee, needs to be reclassified. I'm not quite sure what it's going to be reclassified to, but it will not be a big overdraft the way it looks there.
Where are you going to record it in the future?
It's a KFCF.
It's a KFCF. Item.
You're not going to record it at all. You're going to subtract it from the KFCF receipts, is that?
Yes. That's the way it'll work.
Okay, so that will be all off the books.
Mm-hmm.
You don't record the KFCF money.
Right. Now, there's also some reclassifications to be done on line 166, account 6750. This is also KFCF. Figures are in there, and they need to be, you know, the records need to be gone through so that the items that belong with KFCF will be taken out. So these kinds of things do significantly affect the bottom line we've got here. And I don't know if anybody wants to ask anything about, you wanted me to do something quick with this. Tracy, do you want me to read for me totals for each major category, or what do you want to do?
Sure. Read the totals from each major category.
Okay.
It will make it easier for anyone that's listening. Otherwise.
All right. So I did give the revenue, and with the explanation that there's still changes that will get rid of the deficit there. The total operating expenses were budgeted at $2,866,445, and it came in at $2,895,775. And so that means for total operating expense in this interim draft statement is over by $29,331. We have let's see, shall I go into the shared expenses? We budgeted as $497,773, and we apparently paid $463,639, which is $34,134 under. But I assume that when other corrections are made, these figures may change also. Then we have capital items. We budgeted $22,281. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Oh, never mind. Skip that. We have nothing in capital items at this time. So here's the expense details. Personnel costs. This is the budgeted figure. $1,707,576. And the expense figure is $1,847,519. So for personnel costs, we are over by $139,943. Now, a question I would have if my business manager and I were looking at this before this meeting was, do the salary figures include our double payment of our interim general manager positions? And she's nodding her head yes, face, too. So, then, after personnel costs, there were board expenses, and those were budgeted at $33,200. The total expense was $49,743, and the largest thing that produced the overdraft there was election expenses, and that was $16,534. And that included not only our regular LSB elections, but a recall election that we paid money for staff on.